this unbelievable, egotistical, narcissistic viewpoint on football? Could he have done things to kind of tamp it down? Or does Tomlin just invite those types of players, thinking to himself, I'll coach it out of them, I'll take a character risk on a guy with big talent, and I'll make it work? It didn't end up going that way with Chase Claypool. They had to trade his ass out of town. They never ended up getting, I think, other than his rookie year, what they thought they could out of him. I'm just perplexed as to how a guy leaves the locker room with that on his face and no coach says anything to him about it. One of the things that we talked about in training camp, man, this new wide receivers coach, he ain't going to take any crap from George Pickens. He's putting this guy in his place. Pickens is storming off. He gets in an argument with him. He has a temper tantrum. This wide receiver doesn't tolerate that. He lets the guy go out with an always effing open script on his eye black? Are you kidding me? I understand, like, the Steelers, not just in terms of, like, always making excuses and allowing for Pickens to act like a child, that they're on the hook for that. They're also, in my opinion, on the hook for, you think, you guys said, does Mike Tomlin think we're dumb? Does he think George is dumb? Does he think George is going to be happy in an offense where the plan is, let's run the ball and never try to lose the game? And let's not focus on you or highlight you in the offense. You're our best offensive player talent-wise, but let's make sure instead we showcase the running game, and like, we're only going to throw the ball and get it to you when we absolutely need to when it's third and long. We're not going to like dial up plays or make you the whole impetus of the offense. That's on them.
I will say they dialed up a crosser for him after he had been benched and come back.
Yeah, and he lollygagged out of it.
Right, like I have a hard time today saying, because they do need to do more to get him open and scheme him open, but I have a hard time ripping them when they clearly designed a play that was trying to get him the ball, and if he's running full gallop, probably get him the ball, moving the way he did when he caught that like 70-yarder or whatever last year. He catches it in stride, heading towards the sideline, and turns that upfield. When he's going there at 70% speed on the all-22, your guy Derek Bell, Donnie, was cutting up his all-22 reps. When he's doing that, I can't blame them for being like, screw this. Why would we give this guy anything more? We call a play that is very obviously for him, and he dogs it. He's so talented, and it just seems like it is curdling in record time right
now.
Well,
they have their answer on him. He's not a number one wide receiver. He's too moody. He's too mercurial. He's too up and down. They can't unlock him or unfurl him in a way that gets that kind of production out of it. It's not all him. You need, I think, a very specific offense with very good coaching and people that can handle this personality in order to make it work consistently enough. They clearly can't do that. And quarterbacks have come and gone, and now we've changed offensive coordinators, and we're still having the same conversations. People might not think it's a big deal. When a guy comes out with eye black that says, always effing open, and you're Mike Tomlin and you're like at times held up as some ambassador or face of the league, you think Roger Goodell liked last night that Barstool Sports and me and other people are putting out a picture of him where it says always effing open on his face? Of course not. This is supposed to be, oh, these two iconic brands are playing football. This knucklehead puts the F word on his face last night and then has three catches.
I mean, the only thing is at least effing was on the nose, so it was hard to actually read. But it shows
you where his headspace is,
no,
Chris, too.
No, I know.
I mean, the thing before the game that everyone picked up on from over the weekend was what Diana Russini wrote about, hey, here's a guy that might get traded. Here's a guy that might get linked to the Chiefs in trade talks.
Yep.
And my reaction was, well, that's really stupid.
Yep.
Because the Steelers don't have any wide receivers. Why would they trade their best one to a team in their own conference who might be able to untap that in him? But you know what? Today, it actually makes a lot of sense, because Mike has shown that he will tell you over and over again, I can manage the headache. I can be the human Tylenol that fixes that. And then he gets to his breaking point and just punts on the guy and gets him out of town. And maybe we are getting close to that.
Because, do you think if a team offered them a second-round pick for him now, they'd take it?
Yes, yes, yes. And here's why. Because what's the... If not
volunteer, we want volunteers, not hostages.
But not only that, okay, so you're going to pay him in the offseason? You're going to reward this. You're going to say, actually, what you're doing is fine. We like what you're doing right now. Let's give you a gigantic raise because money is going to change you.
Can't do that.
Money is going to make you better.
Can't do it.
Right?
To hear any guy like Ryan Clark who played alongside AB, money was what changed his personality for the worse. And he's not a good enough receiver. Like, I hate saying that because I think the guy is one of the most talented receivers in the league. What does he do from a variety standpoint? Like, the technician stuff. AB was, obviously, it went downhill quickly for him off the field. Complete technician, master of his craft. I mean, just as good as it got.
This guy
there.
Makes spectacular catches.
He's great when the ball is in the air, but you know what? How can I even say that after yesterday? He's a 3rd-and-4 pass to him thrown wide open, and it goes right through his hands.
His head was not in the game. And honestly,
well, you can't pay a guy who's not focused.
I know.
And you can't pay a guy who doesn't give full effort.
Shame on me, but I honestly thought with guys like George Pickens, it's the Cowboys and it's in prime time. I thought we were going to get the best, absolute best version of him last night. I thought we were going to see George Pickens at his prime George Pickens, like against the Bengals when he caught that long touchdown pass from Rudolph. But this is messed up, man. And what I think makes it worse is the coach just covers for him all the time. You guys are right. He makes us feel like idiots for raising questions and asking about the way they're handling him. And he routinely says, no, there's nothing to see here. You guys are making a mountain out of a molehill. And that's disenchanting.
You know what's like just bends my brain? I got people, like, I tweeted out stuff about the Tomlin thing, just what is the point? Who is this answer for? And I got a response that just said, it's not for you. It's to thumb their nose or give the finger to the media because it's none of the media's business what they do in-house. How are there people defending this,
cool.
this tack?
That's right. Just let them keep doing what they're doing. Let's not pick on George. Let's not pick on the Steelers' handling of it. Keep on keeping on here,
same
guys, because it's going great right now.
Tony, same response.
Looks amazing.
Same response to Brooke Pryor, who tweeted that he just hung out in the equipment room and wasn't available for any interviews today after he rejected requests yesterday. What has happened among fans of the sport now? Where you support the player and that saying, yeah, why should he answer any questions from you snake media people? Like, are you all that much as a collective? The people who actually say this, I'm not saying it's all Steelers fans. There's plenty of people pissed at him. The people who actually feel that way, that's how up these guys' asses you are, like fanboying for them?
Here's Will on the
Come
fan.
On.
Hello, Will.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
I just wanted to talk about Tomlin and all the stuff about Pickens. I agree with it's on the film, you see it, but it's more so how this team runs out their personnel, and this includes Pickens. I think they run 13 personnel at the highest rate in the league, which means they have 3 tight ends, 1 receiver. And I remember going back to last year, you would see Miles Boykin as that lone receiver. This year, last night, how many times I saw them in 21 and 22 personnel with Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson. And I understand that the depth at that position is decimated. There's none. However, he's your best player, and I believe that he needs to be on the field, best offensive player, on the field whenever they are in these base personnel, these packages, because the offense is non-threatening, uninspiring, and when we've been begging for more play action in the years past, they're running it more, but there's no threat. I think they're averaging, 4 yards per attempt.
They're the worst play-action team in the NFL in terms of its effectiveness. Thank you, Will.
Missed another one yesterday in the 3rd play of the game. The ball hits Connor Hayward in both hands. He takes it to the ground and can't hold it.
The one part of this that I struggle with is it chicken or the egg? Are they taking snaps away from him because they're disappointed with his effort, they're frustrated with his buy-in, and so that's why he's not on the field? And if that's the case, I can't get mad at them for that. Like, they're trying, but I guess I can because it doesn't work. You know, whatever approach they're taking, it's not achieving anything. The guys that are going in and playing for him aren't being productive, and it's not like we're not getting a better version of George
Pickens.
You're
getting a worse version of him. He still had, despite all this, he still had 2 more targets than anybody else on the team yesterday. He had 7 targets. He did very little with them. He did very little. I mean, that's the bottom line here.
Some of the snaps of D-linemen like Cam Hayward and so forth, man. It's just about snap management. It's no underlying story, to be quite honest with you.
Mike Tomlin comparing George Pickens to Cam Hayward, everybody. Fan weather brought to you by Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's go back to the phones and get your thoughts on things, starting with Jason. He's next. Hello, Jason.
Hey.
Hey.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Listen, I wish somebody can explain to me how in the wide world of sports is Tomlin getting credit for running the defense? He's the only coach that I see in the NFL that walks around the sidelines without any play card or notes or anything. He walks around the sidelines with his hands behind his back like a spectator, and he's watching the game. And I guarantee those headphones aren't even plugged into anything. I don't – how's he calling the defense? How is he getting credit for calling the defense?
He tells Terrell Austin
what he wants.
How? He's like, all right, play the run. Play the deep. Play the – But
it's obviously more complicated than that, but you get the gist of it. I think
he does know his own defense well enough that he can just sit there and dictate terms to Terrell Austin as to what he wants, and then Austin relays it in. I think that's pretty – it's pretty much well established that's how it goes.
I've never seen him talk in the headset. And have you ever seen – tell me another head coach that doesn't have a play card on the sideline.
He's purported to call his team's plays on either side of the ball, that's what you mean?
Yeah, everybody, every coach has one of those big, you know.
Yes, if they're an offensive coach. I mean, Terrell Austin had a small, like, note card that was highlighted yesterday.
So what's the point here? You're saying Mike Tomlin does nothing? Is that what we're getting at?
That's what I get.
Your actual point was you said you don't even think his headset's plugged in. Was that a serious comment?
Yes,
you think
I mean,
you think he's literally just talking to nobody there?
He's listening to the Patriots radio broadcast in his headphones like that day in New England.
I don't really want to give Mike any kind of cover for the defense because we've heard from numerous people he calls it on game day.
Yes, including his former defensive coordinator.
He's the one in real time telling Terrell Austin what he wants, and that defense got shredded yesterday.
Here is Jason next. Hello, Jason.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I appreciate it. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I mean, the next Tomlinism I have that's coming up is the arrogance of ignorance when it comes to with Coach T. He is one of the most – I mean, I don't think people realize how important game management is. And this guy is – I mean, how many years do we have to go through this where either it's clock management or – His challenges or his timeouts don't make any sense.
Well, it's not just that. The trade-off is supposed to be that he motivates his players and that he manages personalities well. So how does he explain the George Pickens situation right now?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's you got your premier guy, one of the only guys that has been really productive in these last five games that we've had. I mean, you shut them to the side and say, okay, well we're going to shut away from you because we have other things in play. Van Jefferson's in play. Scotty Miller's in play. I mean, how about Champlain on 3rd and 8? I mean, where are we going here?
You know what's weird? He clearly benched him. He's not Cam Hayward. He's not a 35-year-old defensive lineman.
Yeah, the first series of the second half, he was benched.
Yeah, he clearly punished him because he felt like he was lollygagging. So that might even contribute to more frustration on Pickens' part. I've got people in my mentions as I'm just, again, saying, who is that answer for after the game, saying, well, he doesn't want to throw his guy under the bus. He's defending his player. Why? He clearly ticked the player off by trying to discipline him in-game, okay? And then the player made him look bad by continuing to not seem engaged. Why would you? At that point, Pony, if you're defending a guy who played the way Pickens did last night and showed as little effort as he did on some plays, you cease to become a player's coach and become a pushover.
He knows how temperamental the guy is.
But you don't let that player dictate terms to you.
But I think he does. Here's Martin next. Hello, Martin.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
I just have one comment, and that is Jalen Daniels. I just thought he'd be great in the NFL.
Yes.
Because he started 55 games at quarterback. And what I see with the steroid wide receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster and George Pickens, how young they were when they were drafted, how immature and how young they were.
Well, the Steelers have looked at that as a positive because then they think they get more years out of the guy. Because by the time they get to the second, I know that. I'm not here to argue that point. I'm just telling you that's their basis for usually targeting guys that are some of the youngest in their draft class, because they're thinking, well, they're going to get to their second contract at 24, 25 years old. There's still a lot of good football left. The Jaden Daniels thing, I think it's a great, I don't think this is what you meant by the call, but think about the way that Washington, with a defensive head coach, has allowed for a first-year quarterback to basically have carte blanche. The guy's coming over to the sidelines yesterday against the Browns and telling Cliff Kingsbury, let's take a shot downfield. And guess what? The next play was freaking bomb.
Kingsbury dials one up.
Right.
Well, that's having a – and I don't think Kingsbury's a good head coach. In fact, I know he wasn't a good head coach. But I think the guy knows offense and he knows how to scheme people open.
Already the young quarterback has that amount of agency. Our quarterback, we got to burn a timeout because we don't like the look we've got on fourth and inches, and we don't trust Justin Fields to change the play at the line of scrimmage.
Well, the offense
and a rookie
is also,
quarterback's allowed to do that?
The offense is also so rudimentary.
That too.
That, like, I think it is easier to stop.
Jaden Daniels allowed to heave it in a situation like that. Third and eight, we're giving the ball to a fourth string running back because we want to settle for a field goal in a tie game in the first quarter.
Yeah, that play sticks in my craw still. Because Arthur Smith wants another head coaching job. Everybody understands that, right?
That's why he came here.
Came here because he wants to become a head coach
again.
Although
there's no evidence that Tomlin grooms head coaches, which is the ultimate irony of that.
Right, but he was a guy coming here as a former head coach, wanted to work his way back in by doing well here. You really think a guy who's an offensive coordinator, who's going to get judged by how good the offense, or how well the offense performs, wants to run a toss sweep on third and eight? No. He wants to put the ball in the air and try to score 6 points and get a touchdown there. That is,
or get your quarterback on the move.
Or do something that presents the defense with a challenge other than here is a basic toss play.
Ugh.
We're going to make sure we get 3 points out of this. That's the head coach there. I can't even say that with certainty. I don't know how the call goes down. I would bet a lot of money Mike Tomlin said, I want something to make sure we don't put the ball at risk.
That music means it's time for Donnie Football's Game Balls. By the way, Mike's Beer Bar has its Fan Beer of the Month. In October, it's Penn Brewing's Pumpkin Shandy benefiting Young Adult Survivors United after every Steelers game. Donnie hands out three big balls to players. It's not to be Steelers players. In this case, I'll be very interested to see how many members of the Black and Gold collect a elusive, prestigious game ball. Game ball number three.
A little bit of a surprising one here, maybe. The guy didn't have a huge game, but I feel like the times he did have his hands on the football, he made some impacts. Kevontae Turpin gets number three. He started the game with a pretty big return. It gave the Cowboys very good field position. The Steelers also had a penalty accepted on the play. Cowboys get 3 points on what was a pretty easy drive to do so, especially with the kicker that they have. And what was the difference in the game? He also had 4 grabs for 50 yards. He had a big one down the middle of the field.
Yep, right here.
Joey Porter over there one-on-one against CD. Safety in behind him, though.
It was bring four. Zach throwing in the middle for Turpin, who's got it at the 20-yard line. Gain of 35, and Kevontae Turpin, big factor in offense tonight.
Mike Tirico agreed with you. Also, Beanie Bishop maybe should share some of that game ball because he allowed for Turpin to go off and several others last night.
How about the play where Bishop just had no idea where anybody was?
Was that the one where he got blocked by Lamb?
That was the Ferguson play.
He got blocked by Lamb. Then Lamb was like, well, I don't need to keep doing this. This guy's completely out of sorts.
It kind of looked like when Barry Sanders faked out those guys.
And they all just standing there with their backs turned. Yeah. I mean, He made one or two nice plays, Bishop. Like, right after that play, I think he made a tackle for about a 1 yard
gain. Early on,
he
made a nice play.
Yeah, on a third down, but man, he looks lost out there.
By the way, how do you have a legal formation on the first kickoff of the game?
Can't move.
How does that happen?
Can't move. Shouldn't that be on the head coach, too? I mean, it's like, I don't want to say it's a minor thing in the scheme of things, but like, the way a team starts a game, I think, is very much a reflection of the coach, and they just came out not ready to go.
But Mike has said starts aren't a big deal.
Sure. Finishes are. That's why they made sure to screw that up, too.
Next.
Rico Dowdle gets the second one. 87 yards on the ground. He also had a 22-yard touchdown reception. He had 114 total yards in the game. This was a guy coming into this one that I don't think he got a whole lot of fanfare. Like a guy like, oh, we probably don't have to worry a ton about this dude because he hasn't done much all season. Because
he's a ham and egg running back, that's why.
Pretty much a non-existent run game, and they made this guy look good.
Here's Tomlin on the Dallas run game.
You know, as he mentioned, you know, we had to allocate a certain number of people in the passing game, and so that's, you know, that's the cat and mouse strategic component of play.
Cat and mouse.
I can tell you're the mouse, Mike.
That kind of goes down in good, close football games.
You know, what's happened with most teams facing Dallas is that the cat has devoured the mouse in the running game. That has not been an issue. So this whole idea where you're trading one to give up the other. No, most teams have been able to successfully do both, including the Ravens, who only started to hemorrhage yards when they had, what, a 22-point lead?
Correct.
In the fourth quarter of the game against this team?
Was Jerry the mouse? Tom was the cat?
You know, that's a great question.
I think Tom's the cat.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And then Jerry, that little SOB Jerry, man, always crawling into that little mouse hole.
So the good guy was Jerry and the bad guy was Tom?
Unless you like the cat to get the mouse because the mouse spreads disease. Jerry was portrayed as the good guy, but was he really?
Why should he be? He was a rodent.
That's what I mean. The cat is doing a public service. I think they flipped the script
on
us. Yeah, I was going to say the heel is actually the good guy.
Kind of like the Karate Kid.
Were there any other characters in Tom and Jerry, or was it just the two of those guys?
I think it was just like the Muppet Babies, where like whatever adult lived in that house just had no idea that there was an existential war at all times.
Donnie, the number one game ball from the Steelers' loss to the Cowboys goes to?
Jalen Tolbert. Gets it. 7 grabs, 87 yards. He had the game-winning touchdown. Prescott actually threw the football to him twice in a row. That third down play.
Hit him right in the nuts.
Yes, it did.
One hopped him in, right in the balls.
And he went right back to him on fourth down. I mean, that's a guy there. The Cowboys, you could say, somewhat of a similar situation to the Steelers when it comes to receivers. Now, CeeDee Lamb, an elite one. The Steelers just have a good one who is obviously the topic of other conversations today. But they don't really have like a big second guy. They need a player like that to step up. The Steelers did a good job against CeeDee Lamb. They pretty much took him out of the game, especially in the second half.
Yep.
Tolbert's the guy that was the go-to man.
And if you told me before the game Lamb was going to have 4 catches, no touchdowns, I'd say, okay, the Steelers got this one in the bag. Here's Dante Jackson on that Tolbert touchdown.
We were in a man, and they ran crossers, and just running, trying to fight through traffic.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he was able to get a step, get a ball in there. But,
sure.
Yeah, it's a tough one of those.
Let me ask both of you something. You're in man defense that close to the goal line. I would imagine most secondaries, in fact, every secondary knows that one of the things that might be done, especially down near the goal line on a do-or-die play, is run crossers. That's how a lot of teams try to get guys open. Shouldn't there be a defined plan before the snap? If they run crossers, this is what we are doing?
Oh, you mean the kind of thing you might talk about during a timeout that
you take
right before the final play?
Like, Pony, you played basketball, and it's one of the few times there's actually an analog. You play man-to-man, you're either switching on every ball screen
or
you're not. How are you not just saying, if there are crossers, either we are switching, which is what I would have done, or if there are crossers, got to fight through it.
First game of the year, Donnie is frozen out Steelers, and I can't necessarily blame him. TJ Watt doesn't get one for getting to sack number 100.
I'm surprised you didn't give one to Mike T for helping the Cowboys in their winning effort.
That goes against the spirit of the game balls, yeah.
George Pickens gets one for managing at least one catch of
my
over
guy
5
Landon
yards.
Roberts was very close to getting one if that play goes another way.
Oh, he would have been number one.
You know what bugged me? We opened the show talking about like with Mike's quote about, hey, if we didn't fall on that ball. Fumble recoveries, anybody that studies football will tell you now are seen as basically luck-based. Like, it's just sheer luck how the ball bounces, who's near it, who's around it. It's random chance.
Yeah.
And you could almost feel in his answer, he basically is like, well, we should probably have figured out a way to fall on that ball. Like,
still surprised that Dak did get to it, though.